Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. Mike Vrabel took the podium yesterday, and he announced that he will not be serving as the head coach for the Titans' first preseason game on Saturday against Chicago. It'll be Terrell Williams, Titans' defensive line coach. What do you make of Mike Vrabel kind of stepping away as the head coach on Saturday and giving an opportunity to the defensive line coach?
Well, I think it's an awesome idea. I mean, everybody's been talking about different ways to give, you know, various coaches, opportunities. And so whether that's a play caller, like we've seen that before with head coaches, where they say, if they are the play caller, look, I'm going to let somebody else do this. And I think the fact that, not only do you get the experience, as the coach to do that, but the fact that Mike Vrabel's kind of out in front of this, it's also just shown, so much light into, okay, hey, this is, the coach that's going to be the head coach. This is what his responsibilities are going to be. And so I think more than anything, more than the experience of it, I think it's the fact that, everyone is being made aware that, look, here's this guy on my coaching staff that I chose to give this opportunity to.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, we had a little bit of a tussle in practice. Jamarco Jones, who is serving as the right tackle, starting right tackle for now, then Nicholas Petit Frere is suspended for the first six games. Jamarco Jones got in two fights in 1 week, and the Tennessee Titans then subsequently cut him, bringing in Chris Hubbard as the right tackle for those first six games. At least for now, he's taking first-team reps. I'm concerned about the lack of consistency at the offensive line here, especially in those first six games. It's going to be the Titans' toughest part of their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and especially if you're making adjustments to your depth right now, because it basically means, we're another week closer to the season, and so some of the time and coaching that's been invested, that's an issue. But I think that there are a lot of teams that feel that way right now, and especially along the offensive line, and that's why kind of adjusting to the guys you have and trying to figure out what they do well, and then finding a way. And I think this is where really good offensive coordinators kind of make their money, is how do you hide, guys that maybe have a limitation? Some people do it with how they hide a running back in pass protection. I think that something similar can happen along the offensive line.
Now, Tim, when something like that happens, when, a guy like Jamarco Jones, I call him Kangaroo Jones because he want to box everybody. But when something like that happens, especially with a team like the Titans that are sort of, they are starving for a good offensive line, what does that do? Not just to the offensive line, but as far as evaluating guys, how does that affect, Vrabel and his evaluation of the offensive line or Rand Carthon? Because you need offensive line help, but you're throwing guys and you're getting rid of guys. That's a red flag to me.
No, but listen, I think you and I have both seen a fair share of, training camp fights, and some of them, are warranted, and then other ones you look at and be like, man, why are we starting a fight? My guess is that it was one of those situations where you're like, look, this is unnecessary. It continues to be you, and it gets back to that: be who you can afford to be. And if you can't afford to be somebody that gets in a fight during training camp, then don't be that guy. So, I think when you make a move on somebody after something like that, it's typically because, you really, truly believe it's the best interest of your team to restart and evaluate that position with somebody else.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, let's get away from the Titans for a quick minute here and talk about another team in AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, with Richardson being there, it seems like he's having an up-and-down camp, which you would expect from a rookie guy that's still in his developmental stage. But would it be the smart thing for Indianapolis if they just named Gardner Minshew the starter right now and allow Richardson to sort of come into his own? Because it seemed like they want to push him into that starting quarterback position ASAP.
Yeah, I think they want to push him there. I think in part because he doesn't have a ton of experience at the collegiate level. And so with that, you're trying to say, like, look, the guy's got to play. And I think you probably also know, look, we're making that move at some point anyway. So let's go ahead and just, like, rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, that's the sense that I get there. Look, the most ready to play week one out of those two quarterbacks is definitely Minshew. But, like, we're not going to start him the whole year. I think most people feel like it's a rebuild there. And so with that, like, look, let Richardson, you know, get better. Do some unique things with him and see what he can handle.
Now, do you think this division ultimately, the AFC South, do you think it ultimately will be a little bit better than what we expected at this point in time?
You know, I tend to think so. I think we look at certain divisions like, man, that division is going to be amazing. And sometimes they end up being that way. And then other times we think, well, they're not going to be any good. And then you look at it and you're like, wow, this is super competitive. I mean, just look at the AFC West last year. Like, I mean, everyone was just talking about how amazing it was going to be top to bottom. And, like, the Denver Broncos were, you know, basically as bad as any team in the NFL. So, you know, I do think that there's, you know, the expectations and what we see from somebody like in a previous year and how that kind of unfolds the next year end up being totally different.
And sticking with the AFC South, Tim Hasselbeck is with us. For the Jacksonville Jags, as far as they're concerned, is anything short of winning the division going to be a disappointment for that franchise?
I think so, because of how we're looking at the division right now. Because of the trajectory that everybody kind of feels like they are as a team, how much better, you know, Trevor was, you know, from year one to year two. I think everyone's kind of expecting those jumps again. And so, like they have to be the clear favorite. And look, and, you know, a little bit back to, you know, DeMace's point about the rest of the South, like I think most people don't think the South's going to be very good. You know, between Houston and a young quarterback, between, you know, the Titans and the turnover that they've had. And so I think that, you know, when you look at that, yeah, but I think people think like they have to be the clear favorite. And if they don't win it, it'd be a massive disappointment.
Tim Hasbeck is with us. But Tim, I don't mean to be like the biggest homer in the world, but are those expectations not kind of selling the Titans a little bit short, just given all the moves they made in the offseason? I mean, holding on to Tannehill and Henry and Byard, picking up DeAndre Hopkins and Arden Key and Azeez Alshayer in the offseason. It's clear that the Titans want to win.
Yeah, I think that, like, and I think the Titans will be better than the national expectations. And I think that's kind of been the case for them in general. I mean, shoot, a couple of years ago when they were the number one seed in the AFC, it was like, I mean, they felt like they were getting no love. And I think some of it is like there's so much offensive focus on teams that, you know, teams that are better on defense than on offense probably don't get talked about, you know, nationally nearly as much. And so I think that has something to do with it. Look, I think the Titans will be a tough competitive football team. And I think all the moves and players that they've held on to that you've referenced, I think will be a big part of the reason why.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I feel like this is my weekly therapy session with you, and I appreciate you coming along for the ride with that. But to add to my list of grievances, I'm worried about the future of college football. I mean, now with the conversation, right now that Oregon and Washington, the Pac-12 is dead, with Stanford and Cal, the conversations of them potentially joining the ACC. Are those good things for college football, bad things for college football, or are these just simply just changes?
I think for college football, they're simply just changes. But I think for college sports in general, it's definitely bad. And I think in terms of for college football, I think there are teams that are outside that top tier of teams that it ends up being bad for. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen them, but Eli Drinkwitz, you know, the head coach at Missouri, his comments, you know, about college athletics, especially for, you know, the non-football players, Like, this is devastating for them. I know most fans are fans of college football, you know, and not necessarily, you know, college baseball or college soccer or whatever it may be. But, like, this changes the landscape of college sports in a very, very big way. And so I think in general that ends up being bad. But I look, where we're headed is for football to no longer be part of the NCAA. I mean, that's where I think we're headed. And then how that affects all these other sports, Title IX, you know, opportunities for athletes of other sports is, I think, potentially going to look drastically different.
So what you're saying is, because I believe the same here, Tim, you know, that football is essentially going to be its own entity, apart from every other sport at the collegiate level, which tells me they should have just, you know, changed football and left the other sports the way that they were. I mean, the Big East did it with basketball. So why couldn't these other major colleges do it in regards to, you know, football? I understand it's the money generator. But if y'all want to go ahead and do all this stuff, y'all can do it. But not at the expense of the other sports. We don't have the money that y'all have to travel from Cali to New York, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks. And y'all are not going to give us the funds to do it.
Yeah, I mean, but what's happening is like, you know, you obviously have some programs that are kind of pulling their weight and others that are not. And so when you look around at that, I mean, like you guys know I call an ACC game. I mean, look at Florida State right now. Florida State is in a conference. They literally, like, they may win the conference this year. They have actually been bad. It's not like they've got, like, all this equity of, like, hey, look at how good we've been over the last 5 years. Like, they actually are a rebuilding program. This is going to be the best they've been this year than they've been in the last 5 years. And they essentially are saying, not essentially, they are saying, they're like, this doesn't work for us. Like, they're saying that publicly. They're in the conference and saying that. And so, I think it ends up being a mess. You know, there probably has to be something where you create some big football, you know, super conference. There are going to be teams that get left out of it because you got to cut it off at some point. So, you know, you're going to have that element. And then the other element of it is, what does the school get out of it? You know, are you licensing the school's name and stadium to be a part of it? And is that what's bringing revenue back to the school to support women's soccer and things of that nature? So, yeah, there's a lot that needs to get figured out. I think ultimately college football with Caroline for you, the LSUs and DeMace for you, the Michigan States, like that's going to be the same. Like that's not going to change. You may lose some rivalries, but it'll be a good brand of football. But it's all the other stuff that I think is, you know, concerning.
Not going to lie to you, Tim. That does help me sleep at night. There's not going to be a super conference where my team is not involved. Yeah, right. Exactly. Tim, you are the very best. Appreciate your time. We'll chat with you next week.
That's no sympathy for Boston College, who could be left out. But I appreciate it.
Yeah, no.
They're not going to leave y'all out. We can't leave Boston College out.
I only have a finite number of things that I can worry about. And Boston College, I have to tell you, is not necessarily up there. Well, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Bye.
All right.
There you go. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. We've been ignoring the phones all day long, D-Maze. So we're going to get right into the phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.